praise God. So we're going to continue on the Holy Spirit now. Just to recap quickly. Last week I was teaching on the Holy Spirit. The scripture says in the book of John that when Jesus was baptized, immediately came out of the water. Who remembered that? Come on, who remembered that? And the word says that the voice came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And immediately the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove and he sat upon him. And John says, his gospel recalls, and he says that the Spirit remained upon him. Who remembered? I said, the Spirit remained upon Jesus. And now, if you read Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and please bring your Bibles to church and take notes, it's very important. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. You see, God never anoints outside of the Holy Spirit. He anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. And after Jesus received the anointing of the Holy Spirit, what did he do? The Bible says he went out and he was doing good. He was healing all who were sick, everybody that was oppressed. Because what? Because God was with him. God remained. This is why Jesus healed. Jesus healed. And this is why I want to teach people today. I want to teach people to heal out of intimacy. Jesus healed out of intimacy. Please shout, Jesus healed. Out of intimacy. That's what Jesus did. He healed people out of intimacy. So the scripture says the Holy Spirit descended on him as a dove. And I taught you last week, a dove is a gentle animal. A dove is one of the animals he gets scared of very quickly. So when a dove comes and sits on your shoulder, what do you have to do? To keep him, you're going to have to take care of him, nurture the dove. Amen? Come on, help me. When you walk with a dove on your shoulders, you don't walk like this. He's going to fly away. So when you have a dove sitting on your shoulder, your walk starts to change. Remember I said that your walk starts to change. Why? How does my walk change? Well, now every step I take, I have the dove in mind. So I walk slowly. I nurture him. I take care of him. Because one thing that I have seen of the Holy Spirit, and please hear me, the Holy Spirit is not a dove. The Holy Spirit is a person. The reason he came in the form of a dove is because God wanted to teach the body of Christ how the Holy Spirit operates, how his personality is. The dove is one of the trademarks of the Holy Spirit. It's part of his personality. So what God is teaching through his scriptures, the reason why the Holy Spirit has been shown as a dove is the Holy Spirit is sensitive. Please say he is sensitive. The Holy Spirit can be hurt easily. What people don't understand, look at me quickly, borrow me your eyes. This thing. Your mouth. I'm going to try to say that again. Your mouth hurts the Spirit of God, or it attracts his presence. When people don't understand, we hurt him. This is why Paul says, do not grieve the Spirit. We grieve the Spirit of God by what we say. He's so sensitive. If you shout here, the dove is going to go. God is in shouting, trust me. The Bible says that everything that has breath, praise ye the Lord. I'm not talking about, I'm saying what you say can either attract the presence of God or leave your life. Now, what people don't understand is there's three dimensions or three ways that the Holy Spirit comes. The scripture says in the book of John that the Spirit of truth, when he comes, the world will not know him. The world do not know him. They reject him. He says, but you know him, for he will be with you. Please say with me. And he will be within you. This is what the Bible says. The Spirit of truth will come. He will be with you and he will be within you. The Holy Spirit, please hear me. The Holy Spirit is in me for my sake. He is upon me for your sake. So many people have the Holy Spirit in them, but not upon them. Now, I want to teach you something. Are you ready? Many people have the Holy Spirit upon them only for the sake of ministry. In other words, they have intimacy for professionalism. And there's a word, there's a name for people who is intimately professionally. Okay, I'm going to try the other side. There's a name, a word for a person who is intimate professionally. Can you buy still? I see many say, what's that? The Bible says, do you not know adulteresses and adulterers? You whoremongers will never enter or inherit the kingdom of God. Don't you know, James says, that the spirit that lives within you, dwells in you, and yearns after you jealously. In other words, if you read this in context, the Bible is speaking about whoremongers and adulteresses and adulteresses that is having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, not on an intimate, but you use him and abuse him. Because this is what people do. People have no relationship with God. Most people have a relationship with God outside of intimacy. A level of intimacy, not out of professionalism, but because I love him and I cannot live without him. Is somebody listening to me in this place? So a lot of people don't understand how the Holy Spirit operates and how he works. The Spirit of God has got a soul. The Bible speaks about him. He's got a soul. He's got the mind. He's got intellect. Amen. He's got a will of his own. He's powerful. The Holy Spirit is powerful. I said the Holy Spirit is powerful. And if you read through the passages, you'll understand that the Holy Spirit is so powerful. He's so, so powerful that he was part of the creation. The scripture speaks about the Holy Spirit as a miracle worker. Please shout, miracle worker. Now, I don't know about you, but I was born to invite the impossibility. Come on, who were born to invite impossibilities? This is why the Spirit of God is on us, to invite impossibilities. I'm teaching you this morning how to host a person. We're going to host a person. We're not hosting atmospheres. I want to say something. My God, I feel the anointing. I'm not here to teach to you about how great angels are. I'm here to teach to you that there's a third person in the Trinity and he's ready to move in power and in glory. You can throw stones. No angel can heal. No angel's got healing powers. There's one, and his name is Jesus. We have to get this right. We are so worried about what angels will do that we forget that there's a person to take care of. And I'm not against angels. My God, God sends angels to help us. But I need to give you information because people are misinformed. Angels do not go on my command. It's not what the Bible says. Angels goes on God's command. The Bible says our ministering spirits who are sent about, God sends them. So what I do is, this is the way I pray. I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, you send your angels. Because that's what your word promises. They will go before me. I think your angels will go before me. They will make the crooked path straight. They will protect and guide. But I don't say, hey, Gabriel, come here. I'm not God. I do not have a personal relationship with any angel. I have a personal relationship with the commander in chief. I have a personal relationship with the commander in chief. And when I call upon his name, I will be saved. If you believe it, come on, give Jesus a shout of praise in this house. Come on. We serve the commander in chief, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I want you to shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the purpose for the manifestation of the Spirit of God upon us is to change circumstances around us. Do you understand this? This is why it's the anointing that destroys yokes. I want to ask people with faith to lift your hands very quickly. Come on. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will cool down this place. Thank you, Father, that the wind will blow in this house right now. Cool off your people. Thank you that every word shall be listened to. Every word shall be perceived. And in the name of Jesus, I pray, Spirit of God, you show up and you prove yourself. Breathe upon these people. Cool down this place. I pray in Jesus' name. Father, if I be thy servant, I pray that clouds will form around this building and cool down this place. In the name of Jesus, amen. So the purpose of the manifestation of the Spirit upon us is to change situations around us. The Holy Spirit's anointing, this is what the Bible says, it destroys yokes. The anointing of God does not play footsie with the devil. No, the anointing of God, when it comes, it flows. And when it flows, it destroys. It destroys whatever comes against the children of God. The anointing destroys yokes. When you have a yoke, you sit under the anointing. You siphon from the anointing. You receive, you take with force from the anointing. And the anointing that you submit under, you sit under, you become. You can never become great when you don't sit with great people. You become great because you sit with great people. I always say this about Smith Wheels of Life. I'm going to repeat this until Jesus comes. He died alone. He wasn't supposed to die alone. He was supposed to be surrounded with a generation that wanted to do more and greater exploits. Hallelujah. Who's ready for an invasion of the anointing of God that will move over your life and break every obstacle? Come on, come against every force of darkness in the name of Jesus. I want you to say, I was born to invade the impossible. Do you believe that? Jesus taught us how to walk in the Spirit. Think about what I'm teaching now. The Bible says that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. When news came to Jesus that Lazarus was dead, do you know what Jesus did? Did he cry out, oh, let's go immediately? No. The Bible says he decided to stay two more days. Everybody was crying, running havoc, and they wondered, why is this man not coming? But Jesus was not moved by people's opinions. He is not moved by what people think. He was in absolute unity with the perfect will of his Father. Jesus said, I can do nothing unless I see my Father do it first. He said, I have not come to speak to you my own words, but what I hear, I release. Oh, come on, somebody. There's the Spirit of God. And he says the same thing. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will not speak about himself, but he will reveal the Father. He will speak about Jesus. No man in this place can be drawn to Jesus if the Holy Spirit has not drawn him to you. It's the Holy Spirit of truth that makes Jesus a reality to you. It's not an apostle's job. It's not the evangelist's job. It's the job of the Holy Spirit. My job is to make the Spirit of God real to you. And he will make Jesus real to you. I want you to give Jesus another shout of praise. So when he had the unction of the Father to go, he raised Lazarus. You might ask, well, why did Jesus weep? Jesus didn't weep because Lazarus was dead. Now, you better hear me. Jesus is the resurrection and he is the life. Life is in his hands. He didn't cry, oh my God, he's dead. No, they said, if you were here, he would have been alive. Don't you know to who you're speaking to? You're speaking to the resurrection and you're speaking to the life. I was not moved by the Spirit. This is why he waited. And eventually on the fourth day, he raised him from the dead. Can you hear that voice? My God. This is the difference between the Holy Spirit within you and the Holy Spirit upon you. The Holy Spirit upon you. The Bible says when the Spirit of God comes on you, he changes you into another man. This is why when the Spirit of God came upon him and moved him to pray for Lazarus, it was a whole different story. Amen? That voice, oh my God, that voice. Lazarus, come forth. It was the voice of life. It was a voice of authority. It was a voice of power. It was a voice of boldness because he was hosting. Why do you think that Peter's shadow could heal people? Shadow has no substance. I'm going to tell you why. Please say to your neighbor, shadow has no substance. The only reason why his shadow healed, the only reason why Jesus could have spoken a word, come forth and be healed, is because the world that is real to you is what you will reflect. The world which is the most realest to you, you will reflect. This is why Jesus slept in the back of a boat while the storm was raging and all the disciples were running around. We're dying, we're going to die, we're going to die. And Jesus was sleeping. Why? Because his world was more real than the disciples' world. In his world, there's no war. There's no storm. In his world, there's perfect peace. Come on, I said, in his world, there's perfect peace. This is why when you have been endued with power from on high, you reflect the world that is most realist to you. Give Jesus a shout of praise. Hallelujah. So we have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You see, when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, He teaches you how to release the presence. When you host, now I want to say this again. There's many people that are saved by the blood of the Lamb, and then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, is in unity with you. And that, as long as you serve God, He'll remain. Even in your sinful nature, you can fall back, you can go backslide, all right? You can be backslidden. And I know the extreme grace doesn't teach you can backslide. Absolutely, read the Hebrews chapter 10. There's absolutely a dimension of backsliders, but in that lifestyle, He still fights for you because the Holy Spirit is the greatest evangelist. Until the day you don't want to know more because you've got your own free will and He will never make you. Then the Bible says that God hardens their hearts. But I'm speaking to somebody here that wants to hear about the Spirit of God. Am I in the right church? Am I in the right church? Now, when you have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you, and then there's another dimension where you receive power when He comes upon you. So I want to just recap on this. Many people wants to have the power and the presence upon for personal intimacy or professional intimacy. There's two differences. There's a difference between having a personal intimacy and having a professional intimacy. Many people pray the following. Father, thank you that you'll anoint me today as I get on this stage, that you will heal your people. Holy Spirit, come upon me, use me, amen. And it's not completely wrong, but when we host a person, when I walk in, He walks in. When He walks out, I walk out. I don't have to ask Him, come upon me. I release. Oh, hallelujah. And I've said that people that have that's intimate professionally, there's a word for them. It's a whoremonger. We're not whoremongers. We are people that love His presence. This is the shameful thing for people that want His presence for when their need is there, but they don't want the presence because of intimacy personally. Now, I want to read you a scripture. Many people read the scripture, don't even know it. Many churches read this and don't even know what it means. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Many people quote it, but don't even know that the word communion means koinonia. The koinonia of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Paul is teaching, he says, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Paul is here making a statement that you have to fellowship with the Spirit of God. You have to come into a fellowship with Him, a fellowship, an intimacy, a sharing together. This is what the word koinonia means, is to share everything with the Holy Spirit. You share your thoughts, you share your dreams, you share your fears, you share everything with the Holy Spirit. When it's bad in your marriage, you share it with Him. When it's good with your marriage, you share it with Him. When you have no money, you share it with Him. When your bank account is full, you share it with Him. You share everything with Him because now you are one with the Spirit of the living God. Is somebody listening in this place? It speaks about the word koinonia means to have participation with. This is why Jesus went about doing good and healing everybody out of intimacy because God was with Him. This is why the book of Mark chapter 16 says, and God will confirm His word through signs following. You can never heal. It becomes work. When we have to pray for people, this is the key. My God, I pray to God that people will get this. This is the very reason I can stand behind a person and say, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yes, bang, my ears open. Because you heal out of intimacy. That's how you heal. You're intimate with God. Miracles doesn't happen here. It happens behind the scenes. When you are sleeping and I'm seeking, that's where miracles happen. My God, I feel it. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He opens blind eyes before it opens in the natural. He opens blind eyes and deaf ears in my prayer room. That's where he heals. That's where he delivers. Then you step in and you host the person of the Holy Spirit. And he's a person. This is what Acts chapter 5 says. As Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Spirit of God. They grieved him. And Peter said, you haven't lied to man, but you've lied to God. The minute you lied to the Holy Spirit, you have lied to God. And you know what happened? They died. They were carried out. You have to have an intimate fellowship with him. This is when you have an intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You know what? It becomes your culture when you hear worship music. It's a culture. Oh, I'm in awe of him. That's a culture. Do you hear me? Do you get this? When it comes to offering time, it's not, oh, here, I want my geld. Do you know what? That marveled my brain. It blew my mind when I read in the book of Acts that the church gave out to one another as each one had a need. And after the church were doing that, nobody lacked among them. Why? Because the culture of the body of Christ is we are generous. We help God's people. If you've got a need, my brother, I have a need. Oh, come on. When you do good, my sister, I do good. That's our culture. Come on, I want somebody to witness with me and give Jesus a shout of praise. When we have the Holy Spirit, when we are intimate, when we share everything with him, things change us. I've said last week Sunday about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes our worship acceptable. He draws us, he leads us how to worship God. It's the Holy Spirit, my God, this is powerful. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us revelation when we worship. This is why Jesus said to that woman, that Samaritan woman, he says, you worship which you do not know. But we worship who we know. For there will come a day and an hour where the true worshipers will arise that will worship God in spirit and in truth. It's the Holy Spirit that makes what you sing truth. Many people don't get healed. Do you know why? There's no revelation that he's a healer. Many people don't receive provision because they have no revelation that he's a provider. It's the Spirit of truth who teaches you these things. Now, people are going to say, I'm religious. Call me religious. That's fine. But I'm going to have to say this. I want to help you. Is that fine? This is why when you host a person and you walk into a place where you know that God will not be, you feel uncomfortable. You feel like, yes, I shouldn't be here. Your flesh wants to be there. He will know, Bri. But the Spirit on you, you should not be here. Wie weet waarvan ek praat? Wave at me. Nou sê die mense, my gewete het my geplan. Nah, it's the person you host. Miracles flows through relationship. If it doesn't flow out of relationship, it flows out of gift. And when it flows out of gift, the presence dries up. When it flows out of relationship, you speak about him like now, and suddenly people, the tears are flowing down people's cheeks. Suddenly there's a change and a formation in their hearts. They come on, there's a longing to pray more, to seek more. It's the Holy Spirit that moves you to that. I want to ask you, think about this. I've said it before, I'm teaching this again, until it becomes revelation. When Jesus, before he came to earth, he was not Jesus, he was called God, the Word. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything that was created because of him and for him. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh, and he dwelled among us. Jesus was the Word. When the Word became flesh, he became Jesus. But think about this for a split second, it was the Holy Spirit that needed to take God, the Word, and turn him into a seed. The Holy Spirit had to take Jesus, or God, the Word, as John 1 says, and turn him into seed. Because the Bible says what was in Mary, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is big what I'm telling you now. So it's the Holy Spirit that took God the Word, make him into seed. Imagine if the Holy Spirit is so powerful that he can take God and turn him into seed. Imagine what he can do with you. Imagine if he can take God and turn him into seed. Imagine what he can do with me and with you. The Holy Spirit is unlimited. Please say with me, it's unlimited. Come on, I want you to say this with me, with boldness. He is omnipotent. Come on, now I don't hear this, church. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. Do you believe that? Now I'm asking you the question, if the Holy Spirit can take God, turn him into seed, imagine what the Holy Spirit can do with you. I pray, Spirit of God, set us ablaze this morning. Let us burn for you again. We need the Holy Ghost and power. This is why people fall into religion, because there's no relationship with the Holy Ghost. When we have a relationship with the Spirit of truth, my God, we will worship God. Nothing will keep me away from His presence. People that's worshipers in spirit, don't care if we worship 10 hours. We love Him so much that nothing else matters. For He's a real person. The Holy Spirit is not an atmosphere. He's not an influence. He changes atmospheres. He changes influence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Imagine the Holy Spirit so powerful that He takes the Son of God, turn Him into the Son of Man. Now He's taking sons of men and He turns them into sons of God. That's how powerful this Holy Spirit is. Oh, this Holy Spirit is so powerful. That the scripture says that when they hit Jesus, when they scourged Him and they spat on His face and hit Him, the Bible declares this so powerfully. It says that Jesus was without form or comeliness. He had no splendor that we should desire Him. The Spirit of God is so powerful that on the third day, He healed that body of Christ. He raised Him in power. That's how powerful my Holy Spirit is. And this is the... My God, this is the key. They ask me, they beg me, don't come down the stage because the television complain. But with everything, I want to run to you. Yeah. Come on, give Him a shout. The Spirit that the Bible declares in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that came upon Jesus. He is the same one that's on me right now. You don't hear me? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that moved the virtue through the body of Christ, that healed the lame, raised the dead. The exact same. Oh, Holy Spirit, give them this revelation. The same Spirit that was poured out in the upper room where 120 were filled. Kera moshke, ruska prach neska promondro. That same Spirit of God is alive and well. He's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, shall likewise quicken your mortal bodies. I'm very passionate in everything I do. I'm very passionate. Everything. It doesn't matter what I do it with passion. I am a passionate person. Sometimes you want to get down there and just shake people and say, yeah, get as passionate about Him as I am. Get as passionate about the Spirit as I am. You know this word can never come back void. This word can never come back void. When it's being preached, it can never come back void. Who believes that? I said, who believes that? The Word of God can never come back void. You can study the Scriptures. Study the book of John. You'll see that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same Holy Ghost that anointed Him to go out and to heal all the sick and oppressed, He's the same one who's doing that work today. Jesus said, it's better for you if I go unto my Father, for the Holy Spirit will be with you and He will be within you. And greater works than these will you do because I go unto my Father. Oh, come on, somebody. Why did Jesus say, greater works will you do? Let me explain to you why He said, greater works will you do. Because Jesus in His earthly body was limited to one place at a time. But the Holy Spirit is Jesus unlimited. So when the Holy Spirit came and anointed people, we can say we are 300 in this building today. And when the Spirit of God comes on us, we can go to more places. than Jesus when he was alone.
Am I speaking to you?
This is why Jesus said, when I go into my Father, you'll do greater works than these, because I will move on more people. I'll anoint more people than just myself. You will walk with the same authority. Bingo, the same authority. Jesus says, I give you the power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out demons. Why is the church not doing it no more? Lack of relationship. People ask me, if I drive out demon spirits, aren't I afraid that they will not come out? No ways, they have to come out. It's not a question of what if they don't come out. Absolutely, they must come out. I'm not casting out demons out of a professionalism. I'm casting out demons out of relationship, out of intimacy. When it becomes intimacy, your words becomes his words. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is more real than the person sitting next to you. Now, came out of the water. The Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. I've discussed that. Acts chapter 2. The Bible says they came together in one accord. I want you to hear me. When Jesus rose from the dead for 40 days, he preached the gospel of the kingdom for 40 days. Thomas was the one who said, I will not believe. The disciples said, when Jesus appeared to them, Thomas was not there. Thomas means twin. Say twin. So Thomas saw the miracles, the signs, the wonders. He heard that Jesus appeared to the disciples, but he was not with them at the moment. When he heard news that Jesus was there, he said, I will only believe when I can put my finger, or my hand in his side, my fingers in his pierced hands. Because now the twin has spoken. The twin of doubt and fear has spoken. For the Holy Spirit has not yet descended. Jesus wasn't in the room when he said that. When Jesus appeared, he knew what was in his heart. He said, Thomas, come here. Feel my side. See my fingerprints. And then he said, following, he said, you'll receive power. Not many days from now. That changed everything. Because suddenly, the fearful disciples became the powerful disciples. The doubting disciples became the disciples who shook the nations of the world. I want to ask you a question. Think about this. The scripture is clear. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Would you repeat that with me? It's not by might. It's nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. In the spirit realm, remember the 8 o'clock service? I mentioned it. Jesus preached for 3 years on earth, for 3 years. For 3 years he preached that he's the Son of God, the Messiah of the world, for 3 long years. And even to the day of his death, people still not believed him. But when he died, he went into the underworld for 3 days. For 3 days he preached the same message for 3 days. When Jesus stepped in, every principality and power knew he's the Son of the living God. He's the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. They knew it. They knew it. Things that's taking us in the flesh, in the natural, 3 years happens in the spirit in 3 days. Is somebody listening to me? It's a quickening. So the Holy Spirit brings a quickening. Please say that. The Holy Spirit brings a quickening. So the spirit of truth, the same one that raised Jesus from the dead, when they saw the miracles of Jesus, they were thinking to themselves, this can't be, who's this man? Who's this man that even the waves obey him? Who's this man that the wind stops at his command? Who's this man that calls the dead to life? Who's this man that commands the stone to be rolled away and life is returning? Who's this man that speaks a word to a servant and the man is healed? Who is this man? Who is this man that demons are subject under his name? Who is this man? And yet for 3 whole years, they were still questioning him. When he died on the cross, they were scattered abroad. The scripture says some of them denied him. Some of them paid money just to crucify him. This is why I want to get something straight before I'm going to get back to what I wanted to say. Judas is not saved, by the way. Jesus prayed this prayer to his Father. He said, all of them you have given me, all of them are saved except one, Judas, who's lost. Jesus himself said this man is lost. He denied and rejected and sold out the Son of the living God. When he died such a horrible death that his intestines bursted out on the inside of him. The scripture says it was better for such a man not to be born. Even he saw the miracles, but do you know what he loved? He loved the money more than he loved the miracles. He loved the money more than he loved the intimacy. This is why ministry is not a position, it's not a job. My God, it's a calling, deep cries unto deep. This is not a job. If you want to make money, get a job. But if you want to have an intimate relationship with the Spirit of God that He rests upon you, so that when you walk into churches and places and changes people's lives, get into ministry. That's what ministry is all about. Judas revealed what's man's nature. I love money more than I love the Son of God. He saw blind eyes opened up, but his eyes were more fixated on money. This is why the scripture says it's not by might nor by power. Because you can see all the wonders, all the signs, all the miracles. It will never change your stone cold heart. I had people in my life being, I laid hands on thousands upon thousands. And there's people who received the healing and you've never seen them in church. They run away because they do not want the intimate. They think that just by getting healed, that's it. But they don't understand. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit lest something worse comes upon you. I know this is not being taught no more. I'm teaching this. Sin always has a consequence. When Jesus was casting out demons, what did he say? He was teaching. He said when demons goes out, they will always return to their own homes. And if they see the house is swept and cleaned and nobody's living in there, they will bring forth seven worse spirits. This is why people that's getting healed and they turn their back on God, they get more sicker than ever before, because their job was to be filled with the Spirit of truth. Jesus stood there. He said, Lazarus, come out. And they saw the miracles. It didn't change them. He opened up the eyes of the blind. It didn't change them. He opened up deaf ears. The deaf mute spoke. It didn't change them. They were sleeping on a mountainside, and the scripture says immediately they saw the face of Christ being changed. They saw Moses and they saw Elijah. They didn't understand what's going on. They said, can we build tents for you to dwell in? They didn't understand what's going on. I want to ask you a question. If you see here this morning a deaf ear opens up, that's power, right? Who believes that's power to pray for blind eyes and blind eyes open up? That's power. Who declares that? Who knows its power to cast out demons? Who believes that if you see the face of Christ changes and suddenly hears Moses and Elijah on the mountain, that's might? Who believe that? That's might. But this is what the Bible is clearly saying. It says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit. You can see all the miracles in the world is never going to change your stone cold heart. It's how you take care of the person. It's how you take care of the presence of God. How you host the person. I have people close to me. I've seen miracles. They turned their backs on the Lord. I said to God, I've seen so much. If I turn my back away from you now, Satan will kill me. I'll die. But it's not the miracles. If there was no miracles in the kingdom of God, and I thank God that it is, I would still love him. Because it's not the miracles that changes me. It's not the miracles, it's not the power, it's not the might that changes my nature. It's his Spirit that changes my nature into his nature. This is why when you give your life to Christ, the Bible says it's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I now live, I live unto what? The glory of God. It says the old man is gone. The old man has died. Amen. This is why the Bible says, behold, I make all things new. He makes you a new creation. This is why the former things that you liked to do, you don't want to do no more. For the Spirit of truth changed you into the likeness of your Father. Hallelujah. This is why I was shocked when I read Acts chapter 19, when they said, did you receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands? No, we have not even heard about the Holy Spirit. So many people are going through seasons and places and churches in their lives that never know about the Holy Spirit. They're never sensitive to the Spirit of God. This is one thing I can promise you. This is why most people do not have the passion and the fire and the zeal no more, because they have the indwelling, but they don't have the presence upon. The Holy Spirit is no longer on them. The Bible says the Spirit remained on Jesus. Remember I said the Holy Spirit is in us for us to keep us holy, to keep us sanctified. You can never speak about the Holy Spirit without Him showing up. Oh, I sense that holy presence right now. He's the one that keeps you holy. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power doesn't come from within. Power comes from upon. When He rests upon you. From the beginning of time, God's plan was not to be placed in a building, but to be rest on a man. When they carried the Ark of Covenant, it was supposed to be rested on the men's shoulders. Who remembered where the scripture says when they carried the presence of God and they touched the Ark of Covenant in a wrongful manner, they died? Uzzah touched the Ark and he died. And it's not because God was just a killer. He's not a killer. But there's a way how to carry and to take care of the presence of God. This is what I do, and I want you to take this with you from this day. When you wake up in the morning, remember the dove. When I take my foot out of the bed, my walk must change. Now I have to keep in mind, I have to keep Him happy. I want to make sure that my life is right with Him. I want to be intimate with Him. Amen? So when the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, when the sound came and fire fell, this is the second time how God has revealed His Spirit. And this is powerful. At first, Jesus went into the water. He came out of the water. Jesus was not baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He was baptized like a oma beskuit. Wie het oma beskuit so? Ja, hy hom da. Ek weet nie hoe ek dit sê nie, ek het dit nodig om vir iemand te sê. As ons doop in die naam van die Vader, die Seun, en die Heilige Gees, is out of unity. The one God. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And immediately we came out of the water. It descended like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, that's my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And so the first section of the Spirit being revealed to the church is as a gentle spirit, a dove. Secondly, a powerful fire. Whew, my God. God will reveal Himself in this month, not as a weak God. God will reveal Himself in this month as an all-powerful, almighty God. But the Bible says, do you know what? When they were in one accord, God blesses unity. God does not look at race. He doesn't look at language. He doesn't look at color. God blesses unity. When they were in unity in that upper room, the Bible says, and suddenly, please say with me, suddenly. Come on, I want you to say suddenly. There came a sound from heaven. Now, what sound? It wasn't a shh. It was a shh. A powerful sound, a mighty, the Bible doesn't say a weak wind, it says like a mighty rushing wind. It came like a tornado. If there were any chairs, there was chairs no more. It went through the whole place. Everybody knew there's something different right now. And as they looked and behold, there was fire upon each of them. And this is what Jesus is teaching to the body of Christ. In order to maintain Him, keep the fire burning. You have to add wood to the fire. Come on, you have to add gasoline. You have to add the kerosene. Oh God, dip me in the kerosene of Thy Spirit and set me ablaze that I may burn for You again. It's your job. You have to keep it burning. You have to keep it burning. The only level or the only dimension, fullness, however you want to see it, that is set, the only limitation that is set between how close you can get to God is set by you. You can serve God your whole life. The longer you serve Him, the greater of a depth you'll understand of Him. Hallelujah. Quickly lift your hands with me, would you? Every eye closed. Thank you, Spirit. Everything is different now. You are our reality now. Every hand lifted, every eye closed. In the upper room, when He was poured out, He touched those who's hungry. There was 120 people. Everybody wanted something from Him. Everybody was desperate for a touch. Your eyes closed. What I'm saying now, will not quench the Spirit. Paul says, do not quench the Spirit. What I'm saying now will not quench the Spirit. But I believe that God poured out His Spirit upon that group of people. The Bible says people marveled because they were untrained and uneducated men. But the power, the working of the miracles they saw, they knew that they had been with Jesus. May that be our life. May that be our testimony when people speak about you. That man, that woman, surely has been with Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you will touch every surrendered heart right now in the name of Jesus. We don't want to know you intimately, professionally. We want to know you intimately, personally, because we love you so much. And we want to ask you, forgive us, Lord, when our mouths were turning you off. When we spoke bad about our fellow Christians, our fellow brethren, when you speak against any person in your church, you are grieving the Spirit of God. When you gossip and slander, you grieve the Spirit of God. The person that you speak against is somebody that Jesus loves. Let Him this morning pluck out of your heart everything that He hates. Would you stand with me quickly? But ask every hand lifted right now, please. Every eye closed. We give you our lives this morning. We give you our minds, our thoughts, our mouths. We want to live a lifestyle of the miraculous. Your presence is manifested on us to change circumstances around us. And this morning we thank you that we can look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith. That every situation, every circumstance will change. In the name of Jesus. We want to have a relationship with you so that we might know how to release the presence. You are the one who gives us secret things of God. Your word declares that no one knows the deep things of God except you, Spirit of God, who reveals it to us. This morning, we do not look at angels to bring the breakthrough, but we look to the breakthrough, the God of breakthrough. And we thank you that you will shake this place, shake every heart. Come on, church, as everybody's close, please hear me. I am no longer interested in places where the Holy Spirit is tolerated. In this house, He is celebrated. Can we celebrate His presence right now? Come on, every hand lifted to Christ, every hand to Him. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit declares the Lord of hosts. So Holy Spirit, reveal yourself in this place, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Peter's shadow healed people. Because your shadow can only release what overshadows you. And we pray that you'll overshadow us this morning. For those of you who believe, I declare this in the name of Jesus. That the sound that is released in this church will not come back void. I declare the Holy Spirit, the power from on high, the power from on high shall quicken your life, shall quicken your situation in the name of Jesus. I speak it and I declare it in Jesus' name, that every high thing, every principality and power that comes against your people is diminished in Jesus' name. We call them powerless in the name of Jesus. We bring it down right now. Come on, I need somebody to agree with me this morning, Lord. We disarm every principality and power. Come on, I come against every principality in your life, and in the name of Jesus, I disarm it right now. In Jesus' name, I bind every work of Satan and I loosen the presence of God in this place now in the mighty name of Jesus. Now I want you to come on, lift those voices and start to call upon the name of the Lord. Come on, let a new song be filled in your mouth. Come on, I want you to start to pray. Pray like they did in the upper room. Pray with a hunger. Pray with an expectation. Something is about to burst loose in your life.